Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Hey, thank you for being here tonight. I just believe it's a great night to be in church. Every night's a great night to be in church. And it's a privilege and honour to share this experience with you. And if you've got your Bible, jump into Psalm 40 if you would. You've got a big Bible, small Bible, screen Bible. It's a powerful Bible. Okay, Psalm 40. And it's on the screen. We're looking at Psalm 40, just the first five verses of Psalm 40. And this is a Psalm of David. So David is turned out to be one of the kings of Israel. And you would know him from the story of David and Goliath. He was a shepherd boy that was called to kingship, and then he led the nation and had amazing victories, but also many, many challenges. And he wrote these songs, Psalms of Songs, and requests and groanings of the Spirit. And he wrote these to God. And we get to live in the legacy and the truth of these. And so these are some of the words that he penned. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and God turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, but to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. What a beautiful heart cry of an honest person before the Lord. He heard my cry, he lifted me out of the mud and the mire, and I love how he finishes there, where he says, if I were to speak of all your decrees and all your goodness and your faithfulness, it'd be too many to count. And John would sort of later echo this in his Gospels. I love the last verse of the book of John talking about the miracles and what he'd seen when he was with Jesus. And he says, if I were to write down all the things that I saw and heard and all the stories and the wonder and the mysteries that were encountered, there would be no book in the world able to contain it. And straight away we go, well, the wonder of our Lord. And so we're just going to look especially at verse 2 tonight. But this word, I waited for the Lord patiently. I patiently waited for the Lord. It's an emphasis that you could probably say, in other words, I waited. And I love what it says in Isaiah 43. This is a verse for me this year, is those who wait upon the Lord, waited, I waited, meaning I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to wait patiently. I'm not just here to take up space and time. I'm seeking and desiring and longing for your presence. That's what waiting is. It's an experiential posture of heart and spirit, not just a time lapse of time. And those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up or soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. And so David is saying, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. Your presence is what I desire. I want my soul to be saturated in your spirit. I'm longing for you. And waiting is not the same as inactivity. You know, it's not procrastination 101, which some of us in this room are very good at, even when uni has started already. But the Bible says that in the waiting, you can be asking, you can be seeking, you can not be knocking. It's not the same as inactivity. It's pursuing the Lord. It's going after his presence. It's leaning into his nature, even though what we might see as the outcome, the circumstance changing, even though that might not be moving to the next, we're still pursuing God. And so we're going to focus on verse 2. And it says, "He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." I love this. It's the most beautiful passage of Scripture. I just want us in the next course of 20 minutes just to have that visual idea of a slimy pit, of a miry bog. What someone asked me, what is even a mire? What does miry mean? Well, I don't know. But the best way I can describe it is, you know, back in the 1960s, quicksand was a huge thing that was taking over cinema. And there is a statistic that would say that 3 out of 100 movies was centered around quicksand. Yeah. I think of Indiana Jones. Yeah. You know, and so it creates this urgency where someone is suspended and stuck, and time is clicking away, and the horrors, millimeter by millimeter, inch by inch, scene by scene, you're kind of losing grasp on victory, and you keep slowly just falling into the trappings of this quicksand. And so tonight, I just want to look at 4 facts of quicksand that I believe can apply to our spiritual walk with God, and how we can get suspended in quicksand, and that's how I'm going to relate it to the miry bog, the miry clay. He lifted me out of the miry clay, those things which would suspend me, hold me, trap me, keep me, box me in, halt me. But then the love of God, the purpose of God, the power of God interjects into that narrative, and it's He who does the lifting. It's not our straining and striving. It's not our working around, but it's He who lifts us up. And this is not just a circumstantial message today, and I'm going to speak to circumstances and those things that have held our mind and held our emotions for too long with the lies of the enemy. But I also want this to be known that this is a salvation message, where David is writing and saying, because the miry clay, the quicksand, the bog that he was caught in actually represents death and the grave. And so he's saying, I was caught in the trappings of death. The Bible says you're a slave to sin, but now you're alive in Christ, because it's not we who earned our salvation, but it was the hand of God, the love of God, the messianic, beautiful love of Christ that came down and lifted us out of that narrative of death and has sealed our destiny and our salvation and our spirit in the heavenly realm, seated alongside with Him. We were dead to sin, but now are alive to Christ. And so we're going to look at 4 trappings that happen with quicksand. Are you okay? Good. Okay. The first one is quicksand forms suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. Thank you. Suddenly when agitated. That's a good point, yes. Quicksand forms suddenly when agitated. So when the ground moves, when there's ground tremors, when there's earthquakes, it impacts the particle cohesion that takes place, and it makes the particles come apart and loose, more loose. And that means that suddenly what you thought was firm ground actually now is becoming a snare without us even understanding it. And isn't it life, like a car crash, like an accident, where suddenly... Everyone say suddenly. Suddenly circumstances change. The outlook now is completely different. The report comes in the mail. The financial status changes. The relationship status changes. The doctor calls. Things happen suddenly and what we thought was firm ground where we could place our feet, now we realize that, wow, I thought I was doing okay. I thought we had forward momentum, but now I'm found that I'm stuck. And there are things that come across our path that can really impact us and hold us to a point where we are left dazzled, confused, frustrated, angry, disappointed, betrayed. And we find that these emotions actually end up allowing, suspending us and holding us captive rather than allowing us to walk in a freedom-filled future. It can get us to look back rather than looking forward. It can cause us to be trapped in what is and what was rather than stepping into what could be in the life and the Spirit of Christ. Does this make sense? That's why Jesus gives this parable of the shifting sands. He says, it's like an industry super ad, you know, compare the pair. Two Sea of Galilee houses side by side, one's built on sand and one's built on rock, and the winds come and the waves blew. No, the waves came and the winds blew. And one foolish builder who built his house on the sand hasn't got anything left there. It came with a great fall. Meanwhile, the one who built his house on the rock, the solid bedrock, the foundation of Christ, the truth of Christ, it stood the test of time. The suddenly came, one was fallen, the other stood still. I want us as a church, us as believers, me as a family, to, when the suddenlies come, that we're not coming with a great fall, but we are anchored and we go down deep into the bedrock. Because when the suddenlies agitate our world, our spirits, our emotions, our physical realities, you know, it's going to happen. And what are we bracing for? What are we preparing for? And that's why Jesus speaks to it. And he's saying, make sure you're not left like a foolish builder. Build your life on the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. We have a guy who comes into Nexus Care every Thursday, and he just announces himself. You know, there are people like the silent talker or the silent walker on Seinfeld. I don't know if you're there, but there's a silent walker, and they're just doing something, and then all of a sudden they're just like, ooh. No, anyway, welcome to my mind. intrusive thoughts win. Anyway, so this guy announces himself. He is not a silent walker. He is a loud, vivacious, booming baritone voice. And he comes in, he goes, Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock, and he rolls my blues away. Anyway. Yeah. Elvis lives on. Anyway, so Jesus is the rock. And I just love that the Greek word for foolish, because Jesus says you got a foolish builder there, the Greek word for foolish is moro, where we get the word moron from. So don't be a moron. Yeah. So that's the word of the Lord tonight. Anyway. So yeah, there's so many times that we need to anchor ourselves to the knowledge and the truth that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Paul would say it in his letters. Samuel would say it in his teachings to Eli and all these people. He says, for who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The Lord lives, blessed be my rock, let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. I know the truth and I'm going to build my life on this rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is calling us in that parable to say there is two realities that you can build. You can build your life on the shifting sands of culture and what looks appeasing in the world, or you can actually build down and dig down and find the very bedrock that is Christ, to seek out, to find, and to give your life to and build upon that which is the rock of Christ. Number two, quicksand can trap you in tension. That means that we become suspended, trapped, boxed in, and held for a long, long time. And if we had time, I would tell you story after story after story of being stuck or being trapped. But we don't have time for that, but it's good for a laugh around a fire at least. But I do have an experience that is well lived, that is the story of being stuck and trapped, suspended in tension. And for a long, long time, there were lies that I had believed about myself. And that lie held me in the quicksand of the enemy and the quicksand of my mind for way too long. There were lies that I was believing at 30 that were spoken over me when I was 12. You know, but I'd been trapped in that understanding, that narrative for way too long. Because it holds you. It doesn't allow you to move forward into a freedom-filled future. It actually gets you to stick and to believe and to just stay where you think you are meant to be, or the enemy comes and he just will throw an accusation your way, and it just holds you. And I know that there are so many stories in this room where you know exactly that this time resonates with you, because you go, yeah, if someone was to mention that or remind me of that, there would be a agitation that takes place. There would be a turning away. There would be a disgust, or there would be an embarrassment, or there would be a shame or a sense of failure, because it's trapped you. It's held you in tension. You haven't been able to be freed from that circumstance. And that is not where the Lord wants you. He doesn't want you in the mud and the mire and the slimy pit. He wants to come and lift you up out of that, that you would walk with him into a freedom-filled future. Amen? Amen. All people experience being stuck, but not everyone can escape its grip. The next one is you're suspended in sin. This is a big one. This is a trapping that will hold you grounded for a long time. You're suspended in sin. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "For we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off the hindrances and the sin that so easily ensnares us." Or if you could interject some words in there, the sin that so easily suspends you. The sin that so easily entangles you. The sin that so easily keeps you bound. The sin that so easily keeps you in hostility, the sin that so easily keeps you limited, the sin that doesn't allow you to step into freedom, but is captivates you and captures you right now. And he says, so let us throw it off. Let us cast it down, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And so there are some things that suspend us and stick us, and we're just like, how do I get out of this? I'm looking around, there's no way forward, I'm back again. I thought I was free. I went down the altar a couple of years ago and I'm still here, I'm back, and I'm apprehended by addiction. Whatever it might be, and it suspends you in sin. You're not able to move forward. It overwhelms you. It takes up your mind space. It takes up your energy. You know, your spirit life suffers because you don't feel like you're soaring. You feel like you're failing. And so, but the Bible says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." I love what it happens in Indiana Jones when Indy is stuck and his son throws him a snake. And if you know the story, it's he hates snakes. But he's just got to, he can't look at the snake. He can't look at the obstacle. He's just got to look at his son, you know, and say, all right, I'm only looking at you. That's a silly analogy. But it's the Bible says to fix our eyes on Jesus, not be overwhelmed by what's happening around and in you, but to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the one who knows the way. In fact, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that you'll be found in. And the next one is looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. Number three, looks can be deceiving. When undisturbed, it often appears as a solid foundation, like an illusion. But 1% disturbance, 1% disturbance can really change the viscosity of the soil type. What does viscosity mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Have a think about it. I used to be a science teacher, and I just did it for the experiments. I loved it. And so I'd come up with an experiment for everything. So we're doing this this experimentation on viscosity, the different liquidification. I was a school teacher 10 years ago. I've lost my touch. And so I did this experiment, and we had a liter of Coke and a liter of custard, and we had to decide, you know, time which was went faster, and why, because of the makeup of the liquid and all that sort of stuff, and that one's thicker than the other, that's viscosity. And then we had this Coke and custard party afterwards. That's the only reason I became a teacher, the old Coke and custard party. But it creates this illusion that everything's fine. It's a firm foundation, but 1% disturbance and all of a sudden you're trapped. Probably a couple of years ago, I thought I was doing really well. You know, when you come into church and people ask you, how are you and stuff, just be honest. Don't play the game. Just say, yeah. But there's this compulsion to say, yeah, I'm fine, everything's great. And anything, there's this one particular event happened, and I don't know what it was. It was very simple and it was minimal, but for me, it had maximum impact. Because I thought I was doing great, but then this challenge came across my path, and it quit, and I was completely unraveled. It unraveled me to a point where I didn't know how I was going to come back. And I really realized that what I thought was firm foundation, there was a disturbance and I was trapped. There was things that I'd built my life upon that were built on shifting sands, and the agitation came, and all of a sudden I realized I was completely stuck. And, you know, that journey was long, and that journey was a valley, but in the unraveling, the God's grace is that he allows us to be put back together. You know, there's always two trains of thought that we never graduate from, that's learning and unlearning. And I love to learn, but there are a whole heap of things that I need to unlearn. And some of those narratives that I'd built up, the shifting sands I'd built my life upon, and I need to unlearn those and say, I'm moving next door. I want to build my life on the rock. And there's a compassion in me tonight to know that there are people who are held in tension, that there has been recently an agitation that doesn't allow you to be content anymore. And I want to pray for you at the end of the service. And the last one if the team want to come, is that you can't save yourself from quicksand. You can't save yourself. To remove a foot from quicksand at a speed of 1 centimeter a second would require the same amount of force that you need to lift a car. That's how much it suspends you and keeps you trapped, and how much force is surrounding you so that you will not be able to get away quickly. And this is where the enemy wants to have you. He says, you gotta work harder, you gotta be more active. But the thing is about quicksand, the more you struggle, the further you go in. And then we look at the consequences and the ramifications of being stuck in quicksand. And if your visual mind can take you here, is if you're stuck, it leaves you exposed to the elements of sunburn. It leaves you exposed to predatory attacks because you're isolated. The enemy looks for those who devour, you know, looks for the isolated one. It can leave you dehydrated. Bible says living water is available to you, but when you're trapped, that feels like the furthest thing from your lips. And it leaves you exposed to hypothermia and the elements. And so, where is the heart of God for you when you feel like you're stuck? When you feel like you're trapped and suspended, where's the heart of God for you? It's found in the scripture, where it says, you can't do this on yourself, but he does the lifting. Yeah. He wants to lift you into the Lord's presence. The rock, Jesus. He always points it back to himself. He'll give you strategies, amen, yes, that's good. But more than a strategy and more than becoming unstuck, we need to see the person who can make us free. Before we want to just change the circumstance, get rid of that narrative, that lie, escape our mind and our emotions, yeah, we want to get rid of that. But greater than that, and this is the Lord's kindness to us, he doesn't just show us ways to get unstuck. He actually wants to show us ways to lean more into him. Because he's the one who came to set the captives free. He's the one who gave up his very being in order that we might have a freedom-filled future. Jesus is in the business of lifting. The Bible says he lifts me. There's this powerful scripture that Jesus would say about himself. Just feel the kindness of God coming into this room. Thank you, Jesus. There's the lifting of the Lord, but not in the way that we see it. Jesus would say that he's going to lift something so heavy that no one would ever be able to carry that burden. It's the burden of the cross. And there's this powerful scripture where it says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, this is the love of God for us. When the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The lifting of the Lord came through the mockery of the cross. Jesus isn't just saying, when I'm lifted up, my ascension. He's talking about his crucifixion. When the Son of Man, Jesus, the perfection of heaven, who came to this world because he loved it so much, was sinless. When he is lifted up and carries the weight and the penalty of sin, shame, the grave and the pit, that's how he's going to draw all men unto himself. He had to be lifted up so that we could live free. And that's why we can trust the kindness of God with that he lifts us up out of our miry clay. Because he knows, and he lifted the greatest thing, himself. And The heart's desire of the Lord tonight is freedom for you. The heart of our Saviour is that you wouldn't be suspended in sin and trapped in tension, that you wouldn't have to go through the fragility of life, constantly stumbling and falling, but that you would just rest in Him and He's going to be the true, beautiful and good shepherd that leads you to green pastures, leads you to still waters. And even when the suddenlies come, we lean into Him and not into the erratic emotions that would take us away from the very presence that lifts us.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.